hold. Hello, everybody. This is Bill Bauman speaking. Actually, I started speaking to you about 10 seconds ago and realized that I had you on hold. Shame on me. Shame on me. No, it doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you. Why would you think that? Anyway, hi, it's Bill Bauman, in case you hadn't guessed that already. And it is Thursday, and it is July, and this is our precious, sacred time together, this once-a-month time together, this sacred setting. I'm so, so thrilled to welcome you to our shared heart. And one of the senses I have of this time each month is that it's really that. It's like our shared temple, our collective sacred site. But it's really a heart space. It's a soul space. It's a spirit space. It's a space where just whatever are the blessings that are a part of infinity and a part of finiteness and a part of creation, that they all just come for this hour. They come to live in this space, and they come to splash around in the depths of our being. And that's what I especially really genuinely welcome you to. So since our last time together a month ago, by golly, a number of things have happened here on my end. We had a few weekends ago a small group intensive, and this coming weekend we're having the third meeting of our year-long mentoring group. And 2 days ago I started a new course for the Shift Network that some of you may be involved in, called Your Love Initiation. It's a 7-week course I'm excited about. For me, I live so much in the moment. Let's just say I'm really, really excited about you and me and us in this moment. And just as a last little announcement, I'd like to remind us, it just occurred to me maybe 10 minutes ago to say this, that all these talks, these teleconference talks, are on my website. The day after, usually about a day after this happens, Deborah gets the recording from the teleconference company and puts it up on our website in a special page called Listen. It's a really creative name, isn't it? I thought so. Thank you. It's called Listen, and there's all sorts of things to listen to in there if you want to, but one of them is this talk, so if you ever want to go there, feel free. And last, before I invite us all to say hi and embrace each other and hold each other for this sacred time, I'd love to thank Donna, who once again has come up with amazing art for the webcast part of this. So if you're online, you probably are looking at the first of these slides that Donna has put together. And while we're on the subject of Donna, oh, hey, Donna, are you there, and would you love to say hi to us?
I am here, and I would like to say hi.
Oh, cool.
Just thank everybody for joining us for this hour. And we are having a beautiful monsoon season here, and the clouds are gorgeous, and it's making all of the flowers beautiful. And so tonight, those of you who are going to be on the computer, I did a theme of beautiful flowers. So welcome, and I give it back to Bill.
Wonderful. Thank you, Donna. And hey, now that Donna's talked, now that I've talked, let's see, who's left? Who would be good to ask to talk? I get it. You. So in a second, what I'd love to do is invite all of us, those of us who are on the phone, picture yourself standing on that phone. It's the picture I have in my mind anyway. Those of you who are on the phone, those of you who are on the webcast, even though we can't hear you verbally, we want to invite you to, and then also anybody who's tuning in later or at a different time. As far as we're concerned, you're right here with us right now. So I would like to unmute us and invite us to say hi in any way we want, which is our way of embracing each other and just holding each of us in our hearts. So I think I've just unmuted us. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hello, folks. Thank you.
Ranger and Lansing.
Oh, how very, very sweet. Thank you. Okay. Are we ready? I'm ready, because I've been sitting here for the last hour just drinking in you, drinking in this moment, and especially drinking in what I, in myself, have come to call the spirit of this hour. And I just open to what the spirit of this hour wants. I open to what our collective souls seem to be inviting. And then I put that into some thoughts that I would like to express. Keeping in mind that, as always, the words are as important as we want them to be. And for me, the words are more a means to an end, and the end is blessing. The end is grace. The end is being in the magical realm of our spirit and being in the power of all creation, as that just moves us and as we move ourselves with that in every way that's important to us. And so I sat with this evening, and this adorable topic or title just popped into my trusty head. It's called, What Do You Know For Sure? Do you remember Oprah? Remember back when Oprah used to have a daily TV show? And then in her magazine, which is still on the market, she had this section called What I Know For Sure. And I never read many of those. I read a few of them. But the title of it just captured me, maybe more than the content of or the following paragraphs of it. What do you know for sure? And for me, if I put that under the microscope, I think the answer to that it really differs for each one of us. And so the other title that came to me, similar to What Do You Know For Sure, is What Is Your Deepest Knowing? What is your deepest knowing? So when that came to me, it led me to this whole theme of depth. And frankly, one of the things that I have felt most blessed because of and most grateful for is the depth of every single person that ever comes to see me, that ever seeks me out, that I ever interact with. I am privileged to hang out with some of the deepest, deepest people. And, you know, we all mean a little something different with the word depth, but without trying to be technical about it, my sense is that somebody with depth, someone who is willing to take anything, any perspective, any perception, any experience, any knowing, and take it into the deepest, deepest, deepest realms of their being, into the place, maybe like picture an iceberg. It's like whatever happens on the top 10% of that, which is over the water, is one thing. But when we take it deep within us, deep into that other 90%, it starts to shift. It starts to get different, if you will, and it starts changing. And so if I use, in a sense, a silly analogy, but it's a cute one, the deeper we go, we start with maybe, gee, the earth is flat. And then we go deeper and deeper, and then that truth, that knowing begins to change to, no, actually, if you look at it from a bigger perspective, the world is round. And then we go a little deeper and look at it from a little higher up, if you will, from a little above the forest, and it changes to, well, wait a minute, the earth is circling the sun as opposed to the other way around. And then we get out a little deeper, a little farther, and then we go a little deeper, and then it changes to, wow, you know what? There's not just this three-dimensional world. There are many, many, many dimensions to life, not just this earthly dimension. And then, again, up a little higher, go a little deeper, and we wind up with, wow, there's not just this universe. There are multiple universes. There's a multi-universe. And then we get to multiple lives. And then we go on and on and on. And so the deeper we go, and we could also say the higher we go, but for some reason I feel like going deep here today, the deeper we go, the more what we know morphs. The more it changes, the more it changes gears, changes looks, changes feel. And even if we would be saying the same words, once we shift into a different gear, go deeper, the tone of the words is different. The sense of sureness about it is different. So if I go back to Oprah's question, what do I know for sure? And the question of us here this evening together, what do we know for sure? in one sense, I think we know everything. You know, there's that theme in psychology that says that the deepest truth resides within us, and way down deep, in psychology they would say subconsciously, but way down deep, we know everything, literally everything. So on the one hand, we know everything. On the other hand, we know absolutely nothing. And those two seeming opposites can literally live in the very same space. So I'm going to, because I'm so self-absorbed and all I think about is myself, I want to share with you just a little walkthrough of my own life here. And so if I start with maybe stage one of my life, which would be from birth on, life for me was really about safety and security. It was about survival, emotional survival, and my physical survival was fairly well taken care of. But it was about survival, security, safety. And so what did I know then? I knew that life was a sort of a risky version of trying to fend for myself, trying to take charge of myself, trying to manage the unpredictable factors of life, and that success meant having a good day with that. So that was my world is flat stage, if you will. And then later in my 20s, I moved into a whole different stage. I went deeper. Some deeper part of me opened, and that's just what I want to call the opening to love. So all of a sudden, I started living in this space of love. And instead of life being about survival and life being about safety and security, it really became a little more adventuresome. It became about moving my heart out into another person's heart. It became about connecting and unifying and taking risks that were not primarily about safety and security, but it became about the adventure of love, the adventure of connection, the adventure of compassion, the adventure of being one with another person, even in a dualistic way. And then I entered into the whole realm of psychology, which I'll call stage three, and all of a sudden the world that opened up was the next step of my depth, and so I fell into the next deepest part of me where I found what a lot of people would call my shadow side or my dark side or my pain or my issues or my unresolved stuff. And so life for me then, what did I know then? I knew that, wow, wait a minute, you know what? Whereas before I was kind of on remote control, I have a power. I have the power to heal. So I started to learn about and know about power. So what did I know for sure then? I knew that hard as it was, I had the power to heal my pain. And I walked through that for years and years and years. And then stage four, spirituality conked me on the head, opened me up, and brought me deeper yet. And higher yet, into this space of light. So beyond the world of energy, beyond the world of my own mind that I had hung out with quite strongly, I entered this endless realm of light that just kept going on and on in endlessly expansive ways. And there was this realm of light with all of its potential, and I just hung out with all the potential and all the possibilities. And then in this light field was grace, and grace just wanting to give gifts, and gift after gift after gift. And so what did I know there? I knew that, oh my gosh, it's not just not about safety and security. It's not just about a three-dimensional human living. It's not just about healing my pain. It's about being a being of light. There's a whole different me that I just woke up to, like, wow, I'm light. That's amazing. And then what did I know? I knew that as a being of light, I could finally unify with everything. It was the world of oneness, which led to stage five. Once I hung out in all that realm, it was pulling me back into the depths of humanness so that I could learn more about human from that spiritual perspective. And then and only then did I really, really, really get the divinity of being human. So what did I know then? I knew that, wow, as a being of light right in the middle of all my and collective humanity's pain and everything else, wow, there's divinity. This amazing, just unspeakably gorgeous divine being that each of us are. And so I combined that with love that was already grounded, and I found myself just in love with every person as this enormously divine being. And I've got like two more stages. That led me to the sixth stage, which is kind of a life beyond, even beyond light, a life beyond time and space, if you will, which some people would call the quantum realm or the quantum void. For me, I kept calling it nothingness because it kept feeling like everything I thought I knew dissipated. So when I left time and space, in a sense, when myself sort of melted outside of existence, the death of my own ego, and there was nothing, just literally nothing, then I asked the question, well, what do I know? I know nothing. I just know nothing, absolutely nothing. So I went from, in a sense, as this being of light, knowing it all, to this knowing of nothing, and I realized there that every time I opened my mouth, like even now, no matter what I say, it's true. It's true in this moment, and it's true because it happens to be showing up in this moment. But also, something else is true. Something that could be the absolute opposite may be equally true. So then I decided, you know, knowing nothing is really cool. And so I, in a sense, have specialized a lot since then in knowing nothing. No matter who I show up to, no matter what the circumstance is, I always start with knowing nothing. And I find for me it opens doors, it opens possibilities, that if I started with knowing something, if I started with hanging on to any particular truth, if I started with even a desire or need to know something, anything, that it would limit whatever. So now I know nothing, and this is probably stage 7, the last stage I'll talk about, where all these other stages come together. So now I know nothing, and in the middle of that nothingness, whatever is important to know in that moment just automatically shows up. And so I know something in that moment, and once I know it, and once it has its expression, it's gone, and I don't know it anymore. And so for me, I kind of live in a in a dumb space, actually. I live knowing nothing, but frankly, experiencing the deepest truth of everything just from that space. I don't know why I felt like sharing my little story with you. I don't know if it's meaningful or not, or if it's a mirror of you in any way or not. But it leads me to the question, what do you know? What do you know for sure, if anything? And the other way of asking that, what is your deepest knowing? So if you go to your depth, go to your height, go to your breadth, go to wherever in you that the deepest, fullest truth lives in this moment. Not that it has to be true forever, because it probably won't be, but just in this moment, in that deepest space, where maybe the truth of this moment happens to be sitting there waiting for you to show up, waiting for you to look deep within, waiting for you perhaps to just kind of tune in, open to, be receptive to, and welcome whatever is the truth of you, about you, right now. Just right now. And it may speak to you, my words now are background music, it may speak to you in a voice. It may speak to you just in a kind of a feeling. It may speak to you in a picture or an older memory of a time or a space or an experience where all of a sudden you knew who you were and you knew what was right here. So while you're with that, my next words are background music. While you're just being present to what you know, just going to ramble a bit. I think what we know depends a lot on where we're hanging out. So if I'm hanging out in my God self, for example, pretty much, and if I'm listening to my God self, I think the one thing I would know is everything just is. It's neither good nor bad. It's neither right nor wrong. It just is. It just is what it is. And there's no need in this space, this God self space, there's no need to have a story about it. Interpretation even can get in the way, you know, where it may be really helpful at a conscious mind level. It's often better just to just look and say, ah, it just is. I just am. You just are, period. Or sometimes that God self just says, you know, everything's just right. It's just perfect. That doesn't mean just perfect as opposed to there's nothing imperfect about it, but just in this moment, it's the perfect experience or the perfect whatever. So that's if I'm hanging out in my God self. If I'm hanging out in, let's say, my heart, then that truth, the answer to the question, what do I know, might shift because my heart's got a certain perception. My heart sees things through the eyes of love. And so what do I know there? I know that I am love, and I am loved, and I am loving, but especially I am love itself. Love gave birth to me, and love is me. Love expresses as me, and love's alive. So what do I know as I sit in my heart? I know that not only is everything out there love, I know that I am love, and if that's my truth, then I fall into that love, and I let that love take over, if you will. And just while we're there, I'll shift, and if I shift my gears and I start hanging out, well, let's say in my emotions, in my emotional energies, my emotional feelings, if you will, what do I know from there? As I just kind of get in the flow of my emotions, the flow of my feelings, the river, if you will, of my energy, what I know is, wow, you know what? Everything moves. Everything changes. There's what's true in this moment, then there's what's true in that moment. I go from down to up and up to down, and then in between I go from high gear to low gear to neutral gear. I go from this feeling to that feeling. I know that nothing ever stays the same, and that my role in life is to get on that roller coaster, get in the raft on that river, and just ride those waves as freely as I can, not attached to the ups or to the downs, not attached to the good emotions or the negative emotions, but rather just maybe even borrowing what my God self has to say, which is whatever the emotion is, it's just right. Or what my heart has to say is that whatever that feeling is, if there's love moving it along. But whatever it is, it's like, oh, wow, if I just ride it freely, then there's freedom there. So that's what my emotional self might really know. And then let me shift again. If I'm hanging out in my body, my personal body, my personal Gaia or Earth, and I'm just experiencing, let me call it the vibration, the life force, the energy of my body, or if I'm hanging out in certain organs, or if I'm paying attention to a certain symptom or a certain expression that my body is putting on the front burner in that moment, what do I know there as I'm looking at me, looking at life, just looking at everything through the eyes of my body, through the feelings of my body, through the energy or prana or life force of my body? What I may know, and it depends, it varies from person to person, but what I may know is, oh, wow, life pulsates, life vibrates. This is sort of what string theory says. That the basic building block of life, which is so prevalent in the microcosmic corner of our body, is this vibrating string, this vibrating life force just vibrates just enough, just barely enough that when we have hundreds of those, thousands of those, millions of those, billions of those, trillions of those, and beyond as we do in the body, what do I know as a body? I know that, wow, everything is this miraculous vibrating resonance that if I just pay attention to it, it just takes me to a state, takes me to a beautiful resonant state of, ooh, just aliveness. And just in that aliveness, I don't need anything else. I don't need any explanations. I don't need any other truth except the truth of, ooh, what do I know? I know I'm alive. And just living in the sacredness of that vibration, it's so very, very, very sweet. And then just one more thing, take one more leap. If I start hanging out in my personal depth, yep, in my personal depth, then I ask myself the question, what do I know here? And it's right here, I think, that it becomes all about me. And that's where we started just a few minutes ago when I said, as you're hanging out in your depth, what do you know, whether for sure or not for sure? And you've been listening within, attuning within. You probably have some version of an answer. It may or may not, you know, be in publishable form at the moment or speakable form. But what really do you know? How is your personal depth holding the truth that's the most important truth for you right now? I think the reason I'm inviting us to hang out in our personal depth is that that's oftentimes where the most up-to-date knowing, the most important wisdom, the most significant insight, aha, is. It's where the truth that's the most significant for that moment, the truth that has your name on it in that particular nanosecond, it's where it lives. And now, and maybe if you feel like it, just in the days ahead, just to go sit in that depth and just open to that truth. It's a fascinating thing. I do that from time to time. In fact, I think I do that pretty much 24/7, come to think of it. And I find that that's where the truth of me, the truth of somebody else, the truth of earthiness, the truth of humanness, the truth of wars and injustices, the truth of bad guys, the truth of good guys. It's where somehow I know that. Maybe that's what in psychology, when they talk about we know everything way down deep, maybe it's right there at our depth. And I know for me what's just a joy, an utter joy in life, is to hang out with you and with everyone who is willing to sit in their depth and just notice, just listen, and just let that, not just knowing, but the juice of that knowing, the maybe the passion of that knowing, maybe even the deepest silence of that knowing, because what's beautiful about the bottom rung of our depth, I think, is that it's ever, ever, ever so quiet. I mean, it's so quiet you can hear a pin drop, and since it's deep down within you, you may not want to use the analogy of a pin. I just thought that was cute to say. But so in this quiet, quiet, silent space of your inner self, in this deepest reservoir of who you are, in this most personal, most exquisite, this hugely rich space of your being that I'm calling your depth, I'm going to ask this question. Who are you, really? Who are you right there in this deep space? And I'm asking this question. It's the age-old philosophical question. In one sense, but I'm not asking it in a philosophical sense, because way, way, way down here, which is kind of the space that we automatically go to, oftentimes right before we go to sleep. We just go right there, and maybe we're just there for a second, and then we fall asleep. It's sort of that last place before we conk out for the night, before we punch in our quitting time card for the day. And then I think it's also that space we just kind of wake up to in the morning. Again, even if just for a nanosecond, and we punch our time card in. Right there at that place where we know who we are. Who are you? Who are you there? That, of course, is not the place where the answer is, oh, I'm a man or I'm a woman. It's not the place where I'm an American or a British or a Hindu or a Jew or an anything. It's not where the answer, I'm black or I'm white or I'm brown, happens to live. It's deeper than that. Not to take anything away from all those other answers, because they have their place and they have their time. But in this depth, in this deepest facet of your being, let's assume you know who you are. And as I was preparing this time today, just sitting here being, just watching the images float through, watching the thoughts float through, watching your soul speak to me, watching the spirit of this moment, this hour speaking, I became aware that the reason that I was feeling moved to have this focus, what do you know for sure, and the focus of our depth is because it seemed like your depth wanted, or maybe I should say wants, that your depth wants you to know consciously what you already know unconsciously, what you already know subconsciously, what you already know in your body, what you already know in your heart, what you already know in your soul, but your depth wants you to know it consciously, because that conscious you is the facet of you that takes everything else that you are and splashes it onto the canvas of your human life, throws the paint of it onto that canvas and draws yourself out into the world and draws the arena or the landscape in which you walk and creates a world and creates a universe and creates a whole set of experiences for you. And if you consciously know who you are, especially if you know the deepest truth of you, then wow, then that can get splashed out into the world, as opposed to other facets like maybe your adaptive self, or your pleasing self, or your hurt or wounded self, or whatever. So yes, we're all wounded. Of course we are. Being human is it's a tough row to hoe, but side by side with all that woundedness, deeper down than all that woundedness, there's the truth of you. Who are you there? Not just a wounded puppy, but a really, really, if I may say it, amazing, amazing self. And on the one hand, I don't want to put a lot of words to that. And I purposely, sometimes I jot little notes down here or there and refer to them as I talk, but I purposely didn't jot a thing down about this. So I don't want to put too many words, but you know, that kind of commitment has never stopped me before. And I don't mean these words to influence you at all, but if I go to the depth of you, and I just hang out there with you in this moment, maybe letting my presence be a bit of a, maybe a magnifier, if you will, a magnifying lens that just amplifies, magnifies, to just megaphones who you are into the ears of your conscious self, into your inner ear, in some way that's bigger than usual, fuller than usual, then maybe it becomes clearer. So ignore or be with my words as you choose. So if I ask, who are you, as we sit together in this deepest, 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 deepest possible you, I feel like the answer may be something like, oh my God, I'm the most perfect self that I could ever be. And if I put that under the microscope, what I mean by that is, oh my God, if I really look at me without my stories, without my biases, without my predicaments, without my woundedness, if I go to the deepest truth of me, wow, look, I'm put together. I have a created nature. I'm put together in a way that's exactly what, for me to be who I am, for me to fulfill what I'm about, exactly what I need to be. It's perfect. And even if there's a deep wound, that wound is housing the power to be me. That wound didn't happen by accident, and it didn't happen just to make you or me or any of us a victim. It happened so that by spending time in and with that wound, you would drop deep down into and through that wound, down into the truth of who you are. Who are you, really? You, this amazing being who was put together just right. You're your own Goldilocks. You tried this, it was to this, and you tried that, and it was to that. But you tried yourself. And this self, if it's saying anything, is saying, ah, I'm just right for you. You're just right for you. There's no problem with you. There's no lack in you. There's no undeservingness in you. There's none of those stories that we put together humanly that has a truth deep, 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 deep in you. What do I know for sure? I know you're put together just right. I know that you've got exactly the ingredients in your being, including the ingredient of your personality. Obnoxious as it may be. Sorry, I couldn't resist. That you've got exactly the ingredients in your personality, in your mind, in your emotion, in your body, that are perfect, perfect, perfect. So if, for example, you're irritated with your body for whatever reason, it doesn't perform the way it should perform, it doesn't have exactly the weight or the shape or the whatever that you want or you think it should have, maybe go into that body and, just like you did with the woundedness, fall into what looks not so right and fall through that into your depth. And ask yourself at the depth of you, yeah, what about that body? Yeah, what about that emotion? Yeah, what about that fill in the blank? What about that awful habit I've got? And the purest truth, the purest, purest truth is right there. So what do you know for sure about yourself in this deep space, in this silent center of this remarkable self? I think you know that there's nothing wrong with you, that there's everything just right about you, and that it's all waiting. It's all waiting. And maybe that's the invitation of this moment. It's all waiting for you to just, let go. Just let go into that truth. let go into that self. Let go into that depth. And my guess is that as soon as you do that, just as soon as that happens, your depth starts going a little deeper, starts expanding a little bit more. Because you've, in saying yes to, in owning, in falling into, in becoming this perfect self, you've let go of some of those debates and some of those issues and some of those heavinesses and responsibilities and weightinesses that kept you from going deeper. So you start going deeper, you start expanding more, and then you get into the whole next question of what do you know about this now recognized perfect self? And who knows, the answer for all of us is different. If there are 100 of us lined up, it may be 100 different answers. But if I may just express what I feel in this moment, I wonder if what you know then as you've just gone deeper into this perfect self, is that this perfect self, the more you unify with it, the more you fully become it, that everything that's in here is in an automatic power way, is automatically geared to just express. To say that another way, everything in you is trustable. And that may seem like I'm saying a lot. You don't have to ride herd on yourself. You don't have to monitor your behavior, your thoughts. All you have to do is just sink into, fall into, go into this deep, deep, deep space and trust what it is. I want to read a few sentences of an email that I just received a little bit ago about someone who has taken that journey and gone down and down and down and down. And I forget what stage it was in my own life I talked about, but I think it was maybe the sixth one, where it was about nothingness. And that's where this person lives. And he says, I no longer know what is true. In fact, there is no truth. Safety and security have gone by the wayside, and there's such an element of unreality to everything these days. I'm just starting to wake up to what has always been, that none of this is real. And then just one more sentence. This is a fascinating free fall into the unknown, and I would love to comment on that a little bit. When we just let ourselves free fall into our depth, or into our height, or into our breadth, into the glass ceilings of our being, if you will, and witness those glass ceilings shattering or falling apart, and witness the bottom of the barrel of our depth falling out, and witness ourselves going deeper and deeper. What is it in Star Trek where no man or woman has ever gone before? Where we have never gone before, as we witness that happening, and we perhaps hit this, oh my gosh, there's nothing to know. I can't know anything. I want to add this commentary and this interpretation, and it's this, that if that or some version of that is your truth, is what the deepest part of you is saying, that may be the greatest gift ever. Because when we let go of what we think we know, and especially when we let go of the reason we might be trying to know or hold on to a knowing, which is for some safety or security, we do free fall. And sure, for a time, it's often scary, but we actually land somewhere. And I feel like the ultimate purpose of our time today by going into this depth is that the gift in this hour is the gift of landing. So even if we land nowhere, even if you get to a place and you say, you know, what do I know for sure? Duh, nothing. I don't know anything. The most beautiful part, I think, of knowing nothing, of being nowhere, of having no handles to hang on to, and in a sense of having no earthly or human security, again, scary as it is for a while, is that, oh my gosh, it opens me up to a whole different realm of security, a whole different kind of sureness, a whole different quality of knowing. And so in not knowing anything at a conscious mind level, all the knowings that are beyond that start showing up. And they start making themselves available. And so I feel like the spirit that is moving this hour and that's moved my little tongue in saying everything that I've said is, in effect, saying to each one of us right now, let me take you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, where I will show you you through a lens in a dimension that is way beyond what you have known, and that indeed shall make all the difference for your life. With those words, I, Bill, would love to just let my voice end and open this up in just a half a minute to any of us that would like to share anything personally, would like to kind of take the responsibility of just expressing in a way that maybe not just your sharing but your way of inspiring us in whatever way. Take that from me and put it to you. And again, I suggest and ask that no one ask me a question, because that just takes it a bit into the conscious mind level. So whoops, my whole screen is blank here. I haven't even been looking at it. So I think I remember how to do this. If there's anybody on the phone lines who would like to express something, all you need to do is press *2, and then that will show a little hand by your phone number here, and I will call on you. And then if you're on the web and you want to express anything, then all you need to do is look at that cute little box that's right there, type in anything, and press the send button. And every several seconds or whatever, I will check that and see if there's anything there. So if there is anybody who would like to say anything on the phone, press *2, and otherwise on the web, just express whatever you'd like by sending me something. I'm going to check the web as we speak. Nope, nobody there, and nobody on the phone. Would you believe that? I know what it is. You're thinking, that Bill is such an inspirational speaker. How could I dare say anything? I hope that's not what you're thinking anyway. It's a thought that I've never had, that I'm such an inspirational thinker. Anyway, so I'm going to give this just another minute. And again, if anybody would like to express anything, we are all ears and all eyes. And we have a hand up from area code 703, and I'm going to unmute you. And hi there.
Hi, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
I don't know if this is going to be a wonderful addition or not, but I'll add.
Good.
Because I was actually having upset today that I could pattern. I could see the same pattern going all the way back to the beginning of life, and having it recurring now in a way that was infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and infuriating, and also sort of heartbreaking. Let's stop this and never again. But and actually, as I listened to you tonight, at times I just got so I was really having trouble staying with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad there's a recording, so I will go back again. But It was the fall. It was the diving into and the falling through part. Because
mm-hmm.
I was saying today in the course of my life, what is the gift in this? What is the gift?
Mm-hmm.
The gift, and I wasn't necessarily finding it yet. But I know there is one.
Yes.
And it's that falling through part that I think must be the key.
It feels to me, Carol, like you are exactly right. And just in the moment, if you feel like it, could you venture a guess at that being the key as you sort of fall into, let go into that? Like, where would that lead you, do you think?
You know, I'm not sure because I was having sort of what might have been an ego. It's very nice where it leads, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because it leads to space. It leads to freedom.
Yeah.
And it leads to the responsibility of loving myself much more greatly.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And much more sort of authoritatively.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
I mean, but that's what I would, that's sort of where, I can't say I got all that in this moment. I've been sort of getting some of it now and realizing I want to fall through so that I'm not going to the shallow end, but I want to go to the deep end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes. Well, just for feedback that you may not even need, Carol, I feel like what you just said is exactly the deep truth that's waiting for you on the other end of that falling through. And I feel like you really captured it right there. And I had no idea what I was looking for when I asked you the question, but I felt the answer right there, and I really feel like you just expressed it. And I know you're not asking for this, but my sense is, if I may just say it, that, wow, if you could take that sentence that you just expressed and really, this is going to sound drastic, and make your whole life about that. It's that big a key. It's the key not just to, for example, what happened today, but for everything in your life. So, wow, thank you. You really did for me, and I believe for many of us, you really did inspire us. I think you led us through your process, it's a process that many of us share. So, Carol, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. And is there anyone else who'd like to say anything? I'm going to check the web. No, we have mute people on the web. And if there's anybody else, this would be your time to express. And if not, I will pick it up from there. One more look at the web. All righty, we are set to go on. If I may, give us about a 5-minute, let me call it guided meditation. Or maybe, in addition to it being a guided meditation, let's maybe assume that this is the deepest, deepest wisdom, knowing truth within our core that is going to use this 5-minute time to... more than invite us, maybe even to reach up to us and draw us into itself, maybe in a sense to take matters into its own hands. And of course the it is the deepest, deepest you, so it's not a foreign invader, if you will, but to take matters into its, your own hands deep down, and somehow magically and miraculously and in a way that's not kind of overly honoring of a sort of a fear-based free will, that just really makes that bond happen between the depth of us, that deepest, deepest, deepest truth and knowing and power that's there on the one hand, and the human us. So my words are these. I'm going to use the pronoun I, which is your deepest, deepest truth, deepest wisdom, deepest knowing, the deepest you in here. I'm here. I'm here. Can you see me? Hello? I'm here. And I'm real. I'm the real you that you've been carrying around all your life and that you've tapped into and known and connected to and plugged into so many times. And I'm here reaching out to you now for us to bond, for us to unite in a way that's got much more glue to it than ever before. In a way that lets you have the privilege and the power and the authority to be who you are, to be me, every minute of every day of your life. I, your deepest wisdom, your deepest truth, your deepest self, am here begging you to be the me you came here to be, which is being the you you came here to be, with no apologies, with no ifs and ands and buts, and no intimidation, and no fear, or if there's fear, just walking through the fear. Imagine to be you without all those riders on it, without all those dangling participles, without all those amendments, just to be the real you. Wow, what a way to do human living. What a way to do human self. And I not only hold the truth of that, I hold the power of that. And I hold the deepest, most phenomenal juice of that. And I, again, not only have that truth and that power, I have that capacity for commitment, to commit myself and to help you commit yourself to that, so that together, united, the real you and the human you, all wrapped up in one package, so that we do life, we do self, we do relationships, we do job, business, we do everything, just as this self, mightily as this self, boldly as this self, sweetly as this self, peacefully as this self. And in so doing, that we just fulfill what we came here for. In a real, real sense, all human living is, in its simplest rendition, is taking the self that you were born as, the self that you were born to be, and just letting go into that more and more, so that you are simply, flowingly, only that self. And in so being, just that self, in the fullest, deepest, strongest way possible, everything works. If something's not working, it's probably because you're not fully enough, deeply enough being the self that you were perfectly designed to be, and that in this very moment, I reach out to you and I reach myself into you in saying, let's unite. Come together. You be me. I be you, and we live happily ever after. Oh, my, as we... Well, first of all, thank you. Oh, my gosh, thank you. Thank you for gracing all of us with this... With this beautiful, beautiful self that you are. And as you do that, and as you have done that, I thank you so much for increasing the blessing that's there for every one of us. We are grateful to you. Just as we close, I want to just announce that, of course, we'll be here the second Thursday of next month, which is August, which happens to be August the 14th. Gee, August the 14th, the whole 1 month exactly beyond Bastille Day. I know you were thinking about Bastille Day and thinking, when is that? It's July 14th, of course. But it'll be on August 14th. And in a second, I would love to just invite all of us to say goodbye, but which may be just another way of saying, I'll be holding you in my heart for this next month. I'll just be loving you and letting your love be an intimate part of me. And so let me grab my conscious mind here long enough to tell myself, yes, how do I do that? I've got that. I'm ready right now to have us say goodbye and embrace each other. Thank you, everybody. I love you.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes,
thank you.
Love you too.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, Billy. Oh, you're welcome. Oh, so precious. Goodbye, everyone. I love you.